You're listening to the teaching ministry of Michael Williams, pastor of International Outreach Church, located in Wills Point, Texas. Get ready to be challenged, charged, and changed by the Word of God which you're about to receive.
We've been teaching for several weeks on Sunday mornings on the church. On Wednesday nights, we have a series we're teaching on the baptism of the Holy Spirit, speaking with other tongues, and the gifts of the Spirit. That's been a great series. In fact, we've had people baptized with the Holy Ghost during those meetings, and we're going to continue to teach that for a while on Wednesday nights. But we've been on this series about the church being the body of Christ, the church being the bride of Christ, likened unto a bride. We talked about that last 2 weeks out of Ephesians, the fifth chapter, you know, where it talks about marriage, and Paul says, I speak concerning Christ and the church. So if you understand marriage, how to have a good marriage, you understand what Christianity is about. Listen, if you want a good marriage, you need to tell each other you love each other every once in a while. And not like that guy after 40 years. Wife says, you never tell me you love me. And he says, I told you when I got married, if I change my mind, I'll let you know. No, you need to reinforce it. You need to say, I love you all the time. Brent, I say it every day. I mean, constantly. We just, you know, I love you. I love you. You know, and that's nothing wrong with that at all. In fact, that reinforces it. And you know what? You ought to talk to each other. That makes for a good marriage. Are you out there? You say, well, why are you saying that? Well, Christianity is likened to a marriage. And so you ought to tell God you love Him. And you know what? You ought to talk to Him every once in a while. Are you out there? You ought to come to Him, and you ought to pray, and you ought to worship, and, you know, you ought to fellowship. I mean, if you're married, you ought to go home to the same house. Okay, I'm just see if y'all are awake out there. Hallelujah. I don't have to worry about this side over here because they got that general store over there. But so, you know, it's like a marriage in that sense. And then the Bible compares it to a body, the church. Now, these are just analogies. They're comparisons. They're not perfect. They're not exact. And if you can take it so far that it won't make sense. But just like a marriage, becoming a Christian and being one with Christ is like a marriage. Just like a body, becoming a Christian, being one with Christ is like a body. And that's why the scripture says it's like this, and I speak concerning this, and so on. These are just pictures that we can get in our head and see and get an idea of what marriage is about. And I think of Ephesians, that great prayer in Ephesians 1, where it says, the 17th verse, that he prays that God will grant you the spirit of wisdom, revelation, the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you might know what is the hope of his calling, the riches of the glory of his inheritance is in the saints. What is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, and has given him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him which filleth all in all. You know, the church is the body of Christ. In other words, when he flows and moves in this earth, he moves through me and he moves through you. When he reaches out, he reaches out through your hand and through my hands. Are you with me? We are his base of operation. We are his modus operandi, I guess you'd call it. We're the way he operates. If we're waiting on God, he's waiting on us. He told us to go in all the world. Told us to lay hands on the sick. Are you with me? So if you want encouragement from God, it usually comes from someone that knows God. Usually comes from a Christian or believer. And that puts some responsibility upon us. Amen? And so we have great privileges and rights as Christians, as believers, but with every right comes a responsibility. And so we need to think of others. We're the church. Woo! Amen. Hallelujah. The body of Christ. You know, if it weren't for us as a church, as a group, there'd be no uniqueness to what we are and what we have and what God's gifted us with. You know, one thing I think about church when I come here is it allows me to bring out my gift, as it were. But my gift's pointless all by itself. Every one of us are unique. What the Bible teaches is not that we're the same. We're loved the same. No question. But the Bible definitively tells us that we are different and unique. That we all have different talents and we all have different gifts and we're all wired differently. Isn't that the truth? You know, that's another thing I love about church is because you learn in church to fellowship with people that you wouldn't hang out with if you didn't have to go to church. And that's a good thing. Are you with me? And it's a good thing, because everybody's normal till you get to know them. Are y'all out there? But what you and I need to do is we need to hang out together. We need to be around people that are different, because we think that the way we think is the only way to think. And we think the way we do things is the only way to do things. Are you with me? And we think we're normal and everybody else is weird. But when you go to church, you begin to realize, hey, we're all different. There's different ways of doing things and looking at things. Are you with me? Different personalities and so on and so forth. Different people dress different. People have all kinds of different tastes. And I'm amazed when we have fellowships that, you know, there are people that don't like banana pudding. I don't understand that. How can you not like banana pudding? There's some deficiency in you chemically or what? I don't know. But anyway, you know, you figure that out at church functions, you know, that there's certain people like certain things, don't like certain things. But see, we're pushed together, we're forced together to grow together, to learn together. Are you with me? And to learn to tolerate, to love, to understand, and to appreciate each other. I think that's a great thing. Thank God for church. If you're just isolated by yourself at the house, you're never challenged. Are you with me? Never challenged at all, because everything's going your way. You get your way. Everything you do, you do. You pick the books you read and the shows you watch and the colors on the wall and everything. I mean, you know, it's all you. But when you get in church, you find that it's a bigger world than you. Hallelujah. I love that. And so when the Bible talks about a body, that's a perfect example of something that's different, unique, unique, but different. So we're all unique. We're uniquely designed. Okay. I love that. We're uniquely gifted. Let's put it that way. In other words, I've got gifts you don't have. You've got gifts I don't have. I'm really incomplete without you, and you're incomplete without me. What church does is completes us. So we don't, and this is where churches get in trouble. We don't compete with each other. You know, the classes don't compete with the nursery, and the nursery doesn't compete with the orchestra. See, we need to get that out of our head, that there's competition going on. There's no competition going on. There's just different gifts. We don't compete, we complete. That's what we do. We all have different talents and different gifts and different passions in a church. Everybody's not going to be the pastor. I tell you that right now, I'm the pastor. Everybody's not going to be the pastor. Are you out there? Everybody's not going to play in an orchestra. You know, everybody can't play in an orchestra. Everybody doesn't know how to play certain instruments. Everybody can't sing. I'm sorry. Pop your bubble, but everybody can't sing. And you kind of need people that can sing. Hello. This is not a democracy or free-for-all up here. If you're talented and you're gifted, come on, let's express that gift. But, I mean, if you sound like a donkey braying a tin barn at midnight, we don't really want you leading the singing. We love you, and you can stay out here and just hee-haw all night long. That's fine, but I hope I'm not making you mad. I'm just saying, you got gifts. You got other gifts. Use those. That's what church is about. It's finding your gift. It's finding what you're good at and doing that. See, everybody's not a good teacher. Some are good, some are not. And, you know, we'll try different things, but when you begin to shine and God begins to promote you, then, hey, that's what you need to do, you know. But there's something to do. There's always things to do in a church. I mean, we got our food ministry out here with all kinds of opportunities out there for people to work and help and volunteer and so on. So Hallelujah Night's coming up. That's a once-a-year deal we'll do. That, you know, you can run booths and do all kinds of things, help build, help tear down. And in the church every week, you know, there's things going on. There's cleaning. They clean every week. And we've got teaching and classes. So we've got nursery. We've got orchestra. You know, I'm going to miss things if I keep going here. Sound, television, camera guys are running cameras and so on and so forth. And then there's just coming and being a part of the service, forsaking not the assembling of yourselves together as the manner some is. See, you're fulfilling a scripture by just coming to church, because the Bible tells us in Hebrews 10:25 to come together and to forsake not the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, even more so as you see the day approaching, the coming of the Lord. And Jesus is coming, amen? So church in that respect is awesome. We're uniquely gifted, but we're deficient by design. God made us in such a way that we need each other. Pure and simple. And that's when you think of a body, that's exactly what you realize, is that your function as a part of a body, as a member of a body, is pointless and it doesn't work unless it's connected to the body. I mean, if you are a hand, what good is a hand not connected to an arm? What good is a hand laying over there in a chair, you know, just not connected to other body parts? So if you realize that you're members and parts of a body, that you as an individual are not the body, we collectively are the body, then we need to get together. If we're going to progress, we're going to grow, we need to get together. If we're going to be a benefit, then we need to get together. And thank God for churches. Thank you. There's a lot of great churches in this community that are getting together. Everybody ought to be a part of a church. You need to get a corporate identity of who you are instead of just an individual identity. Personally, I'm saved by the blood of Jesus. Personally, I have a relationship with Jesus Christ. Personally, my faith is going to get me to heaven. Are you with me? Personally. Okay. But collectively, I'll never grow. Collectively, I'll never fulfill the will of God in my life. Collectively, I'll never do that unless I'm a part of a group, part of a church. Can you say amen, somebody? Okay. 1 Corinthians 12, perfect place to go and talk about this. This, of course, is talking about the gifts, so we'll get into this on Wednesday nights for sure. In the 7th verse, says the manifestation of the Spirit is given near man a prophet with all. I love that. And he says he would not have you to be ignorant of the gifts in the first verse. In the 8th, 9th, and 10th verse, he talks about the gifts, word of wisdom, word of knowledge, discerning of spirits, and tongues, interpretation of tongues, and prophecy, gifts of healings, gifts of working of miracles, and gifts of faith. Not what we call the nine gifts of the Spirit. And the point he's making in this whole chapter, and he's talking about a couple things, the body of Christ as a whole, and the gifts, and the uniqueness of the gifts. And one thing he's bringing out in this chapter is that we need all that. You know, some churches say, well, I need this gift, we need that gift. Well, no, we actually need all the gifts. The best gift is the one that's necessary at the time, if you want to know the truth about it. I mean, if someone needs to be healed, the gift of healing would be the one you want, right? Somebody needs to be encouraged, you'd want that word of wisdom, word of knowledge, or get to prophecy, or, you know, I mean, there's a miracle. You need a miracle? Well, that's the one that would be the most important at the time. But they vary in importance depending on the situation. They are all important at some time or another, and we need all of them. We don't need to just major on one little thing. Are you out there? Well, I like so-and-so. Well, I like so-and-so better than I like so-and-so too, but I love everybody the same. Okay, yeah, are you out there? Hey, we are under a mandate to love everybody. We got to love everybody. But sometimes we gee-and-haw with some people better than we do others. You understand gee-and-haw? Are we going to have to go back to green stamps and talk about that for a while? Okay. A&P stores and Piggly Wiggly. Y'all remember that, Piggly Wiggly? Yeah. I used to work at Piggly Wiggly. I called it Hoggly Woggly. That's what I called it when I was growing up. Worked on the flower aisle. Anyway, I get there. I don't know. But we don't all gee. That's what we don't all gee and haul with everybody. But church, you know, forces us to do that, and that's good. We're all different, and we all need each other. If you're not in church, that church is missing out on something. It's missing out on your uniqueness, your personality, your gift, your talent. There's something about you that church needs. And I'll tell you, just flip that coin. You need that church. Right. Everybody needs to be in a church somewhere. Come on. I'm not advocating everybody join this church because I know I'm not everybody's cup of tea. I understand that. But I tell you, you need to find your cup of tea or your Starbucks or wherever it is. You need to find it. You need to get hooked up there. And you need to join up with a family, a church family, amen, and you need to grow there. And you need to pool your talents, your resources, your finances, your tithes, your prayers, your gifts, And let that make an impact on that community. Make a difference. Listen, we got one shot at this deal. That's all we got. That's it. One time. One shot. Heaven's high, hell is hot, and life is short. I want to make a mark for Jesus before I die. And I can go further with you than without you. I can do more with you than without you. I can make an impact on a city and change the culture of a city and reach the world much, much greater with you than I'm without you. I've learned I need help. I've learned. We ought all learn that, amen? We need help, and we need each other. This is not about independence. It's about interdependence. Real growth, real maturity. When you really start growing, you'll start understanding how much you do need each other, how much you need. You know, I often think of family members. If you think of a family in terms of losing someone, a father, a mother, a brother, a sister, or a, God forbid, a son or a daughter, I can't imagine that. But if you think in those terms, you don't lose a number. You lose a function. You lose a person. You lose a, I mean, you had five people in your family, now you have four. No. You lost a mama. You lost a daddy. You lost a son. You lost a, are you with me? See, we're not numbers. Oh, that church has 150, and that church has 100. That church has 50 people. That church has 25 people. Well, no, those aren't just numbers. Those are gifts. Those are functions. And so, you know, obviously, as you grow, you can reach further. You can do more. You can be a bigger influence in a community. And that's what it's about. It's about influence. That's not to diss small churches. Thank God for small churches. I mean, I think God loves all kinds of churches. He loves if you got 10 people in your church or you got 1,000 people in your church. But let's be honest, as you get a little larger, you're able to provide more ministry. Isn't that the case? And so how does that happen? Well, it happens by people hooking up together. It people letting go of their egos and their logos. People laying down their titles and picking up towels. Are you with me? And serving. It's about serving each other. And I know I'm preaching to the choir. I think we have the greatest church in the world. I really do. I know every church is good, but I love this church. I talk about this church everywhere I go, all over the world. I talk about how great it does. I mean, we do so much with so little. It's just amazing to me. But think about if we had more people. How much more we could provide. How many more ministries we could start. You know, one thing about large churches, man, they've got every kind of ministry in the world. You know, they've got singles and older married, middle married, and younger married, and thinking about getting married classes. And wish you hadn't got married classes. I don't know. No. That's just, I'm just being silly. That's silly. You know, but I mean, they... You know, you can provide all kinds of ministry. People are going through different things, and you got a lot of people, and you have several people that have gone through the same thing. You start this ministry, you begin to help that. See, that comes from unity. Unity in a community. Hallelujah. It comes from growth, and so you would want to grow. And I know some people say, well, I don't want a big church. Well, I'm not. There's nothing wrong with a big church if it's organized rightly. And you know, if you went to a church of 5,000, you would have a group of 20, 30, 40 that you would associate with. And that's, you can do that. I mean, I came out of Lakewood. Brent and I came out of Lakewood Church in Houston over 30 years ago. Man, I was a little bitty guy. Over 30 years ago, we came out of Lakewood. And, you know, it was a large church even back then. They run about 5,000 back then. And that when Brother Osteen, John Osteen, was pastor. And you know, we hung around. We'd have a group of 20, 30 people that we associated with, lived over where we lived, and we hung out. And so there was a closeness there. Are you with me? And then we were associated with different people in ministry staff, you know, when we were there. So you don't lose touch in a big church if it's organized right. It can be organized wrong. But think about this. If you just have a small church mentality, if you just think, well, I just want it small, then you're not going to be able to provide a lot of ministry. Are you out there? See, you got to think this thing through. You can't be selfish. Sometimes we think we want to hold on to the old way, and I'm for holding on to tradition that is good. But sometimes there are traditions that are not functional. They're not traditions. They're not godly traditions. They just happen to be that way, and that's the way it was. It's kind of like that. You heard about that. You know, that ham, this little girl was cutting this ham and put it in the pan, going to cook this Christmas ham. And she says, Mama, why did Grandmama always cut the ends of the ham off and put it in this pan? And put it in the pan. And so she says, well, I don't know, honey. Why don't we call her up? So they called up Grandmama, says, and the granddaughter got on the phone and says, hey, I got this ham, and before I put it in the pan, I thought I'd cut the ends off because I always saw you did that. Why did you cut the ends off? And she said, well, honey, my pan was too short. Well, now, sometimes tradition had a function. Are you with me? That you may not need that. Well, that's the way they did it. That's the way I'm going to do it. Well, okay, why did they do that? Ask the question. Maybe they needed to do it that way. Maybe we don't need to do it that way. So, you know, tradition's good if it's functional. Now, we're not talking about compromising the gospel. We're not talking about compromising morality. We're not talking about compromising the message. Come on. But, you know, we got to get out of that mentality, that no-growth mentality. I don't care if we got 10. Well, let's believe for 12. Come on, let's believe for 15. Let's believe to grow. Because that's going to help us provide more ministry and help more people. And it's about helping people. It is about others. That's what church is about. We've got to outgrow the ingrown church. We've got to get out of that mentality. We've got to reach out. We've got to touch lives. We've got to change lives. We've got to help people. We've got to make a difference in a community. We've got to change the culture. We've got to be the light. Because if we don't shine our light, no one else is going to shine it. No, this world, I'm telling you, is going down morally. This nation that we live in, without the church of God, God forbid what it's going to be like when the rapture takes place and the church is taken out. Because we are the only staying force that's holding back immorality in this country right now. And it is trying to sweep this land and sweep this country. And we need to stand up and be counted and live right and live holy and stand up for what is right. Are you with me? And we're going to have to join arms to do that. We're going to have to hook up to do that. You're not going to be able to do it just by yourself. You need someone with you, believing. You need churches connected. You need to get involved in a community. Are you with me? Woo. Body. Everybody say a body. Okay, so I haven't even read one verse out of 1 Corinthians 12, but if you'll give me 10 minutes, wow, good stuff. I've been quoting a lot of scripture, so it's been good stuff. Notice what it says here in 1 Corinthians 12 after he talks about the gifts, and he says, 12th verse, "For as the body is one and has many members, but all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ." There you go. We're a body with many members. And then he says, "For by one Spirit," 13th verse, "we were all baptized into one body." Aren't you glad? Hallelujah, somebody. Amen. See, every Christian, every believer in Jesus has had an experience with the Holy Spirit. You couldn't be saved unless the Holy Spirit drew you. And the Holy Spirit took you and immersed you into the body of Christ. Man took you and immersed you into water. We just had a water baptism Wednesday night, baptized four people. Is that right? Yeah, I think four people, Ryan and Tara and Kelly and Savannah. Is that right? Yeah, baptized four people. I baptized them in water. I didn't save them. I can't save anybody. I'm just a man. I baptized them in water because that's what men do. Men baptize with water. The Holy Spirit baptizes you into Christ. That's salvation. Salvation is a work of the Spirit. And as many as have been baptized into Christ, not water, as many as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. Amen? Now, Jesus baptizes with the Holy Ghost. That's after salvation. That's after you're saved, after you're a believer, after you've had an experience with the Holy Spirit. Now, Jesus wants to baptize you with the Holy Spirit. We've been teaching on that on Wednesday nights. And so he says we're all by one Spirit. Everybody say by. By one Spirit, baptized into one body. See, the way it, when you talk about baptisms, New Covenant, Christianity, there's basically three. Only one saves you, and that's when the Holy Spirit takes you and puts you in the body of Christ. When you call on the Lord Jesus Christ and you accept Jesus as Lord and Savior, then supernaturally, spiritually, the Spirit of God takes you and puts you into the body of Christ. And you become a member of the body of Christ. And you are now in Christ. And if any man is in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. All things become new. Woohoo! In Adam all die. In Christ, all are made alive. In Christ. You've been immersed in Christ. You've been placed in Christ. Then man, generally, the way it goes, after this happens, you accept Jesus, man places you in water. Man baptizes you in water with water. You're baptized by man in water. You're baptized by the Spirit into the body. Ah, but Jesus said, he said, "You've heard of me, how John truly baptized with water. But not many days hence, you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost," or into the Holy Ghost, with the Holy Ghost, into the Holy Ghost. And that's what Jesus did in Acts 2. Y'all see that? So that's like three baptisms. Only one saves you. Only one faith saves you. Only one Lord saves you. Only one baptism saves you. One faith, one Lord, one baptism. But He is the Lord of Lords. There's a lot of Lords. There's only one saving Lord. Are you with me? And there's many baptisms, but there's only one saving baptism. And that's not water baptism. That's not baptism in the Holy Ghost. It's baptism by the Holy Ghost. Y'all don't sound real excited. Am I going to have to put a little sugar on this moment? Can you say amen, somebody? Yeah. Woo! Yeah. Okay. So we're all by one Spirit baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks. Starting to act like I've had a drink, and I don't drink. Okay. Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and we've all been made to drink into one Spirit. Ooh, hallelujah. For in fact, the body is not one member, but many. I like that. Well, I wish we were more like this. Well, you know what? Everybody's different. If somebody else gets up here and ministers, they're going to be a little different. Somebody gets up here and shares, they're going to be a little different. Somebody does this, is a little different. We're all different. We're uniquely gifted and different. All of us are. But we're deficient by design. God made us in such a way we need each other. I'll never be the man of God God wants to be without you. You know, I often hear people say, well, not often enough, but I hear people say how much I mean to them. Not near often as much as I'd like to hear it, but on rare occasions, somebody will tell me what an impact I've had in their lives. I remember 5 years ago, someone told me that. But no, I'm just kidding. Now, look, I'm just, y'all, that's that little violin. Want a little cheese with that wine? But what people don't realize is it goes both ways. I mean, I've grown as a pastor just as much as you've grown under me as a pastor, as it were. We've all really grown together because we're all in this together. And there's only one star in this show. His name's Jesus. And we need each other, and we fulfill the will of God in our lives by getting together. In fact, we're not going to be fulfilled until we do hook up together because we are a body. I am a member. You as an individual are a member. We are a body. Now, what can a member of a body do without a body? Can't do anything. I mean, somebody give me a hand. Are you going to cut your hand and just throw it at them? I mean, no, you're going to go over with your body because the hand can't function without the body. Isn't that right? So he wants us to get this picture, and it's a tough deal. It's tough for a man especially, okay? Because we learn to be independent. We learn to we learn it on movies. We learn in books we read. I mean, Rambo goes in and kills everybody. I mean, come on. And he's standing alone. You know, yo, Adrian. I'm mixing up movies here. But anyway, that's Rocky and... okay. Clint Eastwood, make my day. You know, I mean, he takes his pistol and he actually wipes out all of corrupt, you know, all the corrupt people in law enforcement. He does it with his, was that 45? 44 Magnum? Yeah, okay, yeah. Does it all, and, you know, and John Wayne, you know, hey, John goes in there and straightens them all out and kills all the bad guys and life is good. But see, life doesn't work that way. You can't kill everybody. You can't shoot everybody. And nobody goes in by themselves and does that. Nobody can solve all the problems of life by themselves. Hello, you're not Superman. There is no such thing. There's only one Superman. That was Jesus. We need each other. I need the prayers of other people. That's why I love our men's group. You know, we meet once a month on second Saturday every month, and we just, you know, have breakfast and just fellowship and open up to each other, you know, and that's the way it should be. We need each other. You know, we're taught in society to be macho and hey, I'm not saying be a wimp. I think that's wrong. I don't want to be a wimp. I don't believe Jesus is a wimp. But he was gentle. Are you with me? And we need to understand our need for each other, and that's what church does. It forces us into that situation where we realize, hey, you know what? I need that. I look at people and I think, man, I wish I was more like that. You know, some gift, something you developed that I hadn't. Some area of your personality or your talents that you got I don't have. I need that. I need that challenge. Man, I wish I was a little more patient like that. I wish I was a little more humble like that. The thing I have to fight is pride. You know, of course, you know, you have to be about a half hand to be a preacher anyway. And so you have to. Are y'all out there? You're not laughing at any of my jokes. I'm wanting to cut this off, and I'm telling you, I'm going to hold you a little longer until y'all respond. Y'all. No, but I, you know, anybody in leadership, you have to fight pride. You have to watch that. It'll destroy you. Arrogancy and all these things. And those are challenges that I have. And I'm just amazed at people that are humble and very, you know, they step back and they're not assertive, but they're strong. You don't have to be assertive to be strong. You can be calm and quiet. And at least I've been told that. I've heard that. But anyway. But in fact, he says this. Let me close this out. 14th verse. For in fact, the body is not one member, but many. And if the foot should say, because I am not the hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? Of course not. We're not going to be the same. Everybody's not the same. Your preacher's not the same. You know what? That's why I say, if you're looking for a church and you come here and this flows with you and this pulls you toward God, it moves you toward holiness and it convicts you and you feel like you can, you got hope and you got purpose and you got a destiny and God speaks to you, come on. If he doesn't, if I don't light your fire and if you're not connecting here, go somewhere, get connected. Find somewhere that you can get connected. Everybody's different. I can't minister to everybody. I know that. My personality doesn't meet everybody's need. My gift doesn't touch everybody's heart, but there are some that I do. Amen. That's what I'm responsible for, and that's I can't be somebody else. I got to be me. Are you with me? As God has gifted me and God has talented me. But every one of us need to be in church somewhere. Let's find one. Let's get hooked up and let's grow, because we're just a member. Together we're a body, and we can sure go a lot further and do a whole lot more together than we can apart. Amen.